Hey guys, Brandon here. Thank you so much for taking some time to listen to today's episode. Maddie and I, we took a moment to just sit down, have a conversation with our good friends, Luke and Kate Ridenour. Luke, he was a former NBA player. So we get to get into just a little bit of that crazy lifestyle. I mean, from the traveling, the daily practice, being gone all the time, we go to cheating on the road. In the midst of all of that, him and Kate staying connected. Luke and Kate at one point almost spent an entire year living at the hospital because one of their kids was fighting for his life. It's an incredible story. This is a conversation you do not want to miss. Thank you so much for listening to our podcast. We love you guys. And welcome to another episode of Nights at the Round Table. This time it's a little bit different because Manuel and Ange are not here, and it is just me and Maddie. So,
yeah. Hey guys.
I guess I get to say I'm your host. Be real. I got my lovely, beautiful bride, Maddie, here with us
hey
today.
Guys.
And we have some very, very special friends with us today. In my eyes, they are legendary.
Yeah.
And so I feel like it's such an honor to have them on our pod today. And so would like to introduce Luke and Kate Ridenour.
Ooh.
Hello.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having us, guys.
Hey, thanks for having us tonight. It looks like we're all drinking water tonight.
Yeah, I've got a jar of water over here too.
Yes!
Usually we drink wine, but I've been drinking too much, so Topo Chico it is.
Yes.
That's awesome. So, we got to wake up at 6. We can't drink anything.
No, no.
Oh, that makes sense. So, tonight, kind of the title of what we're talking about is So Close Yet So Far Away. And the reason that I wanted to have Luke and Kate on is I think that their story is so amazing. It's rare.
Yeah.
And we're going to get into that in a second. For those of you who don't know, Luke had a pretty lengthy career in the NBA. And I remember, this is going back. Oh, I remember in 2003 when he got drafted. That was the right year, right? 2003. And he had gone on a tear. He was at University of Oregon. He gets drafted in what some people would argue actually like the one of the best draft classes of all time. Like you got LeBron, you got D. Wade, you got Melo, like some players. And the thing that always struck out to me about Luke was just how humble he was, how down to earth he was. And so I had some friends up in Washington who were huge fans of his and had gone to some event. And we're thinking about me in California. So I want to say I'm in 7th or 8th grade, and they went to an event that you were at. They had you sign a ball signed to Brandon, give God all the glory, and you signed a verse. And so I get this ball in the mail, and I was so juiced because you were like low-key one of my favorite players because you were like one of those guys that I'm like, man, he loves God. He's a baller. Like you were everything that I wanted to be. And so years later, we would finally meet each other. And I just remember being ecstatic, man. And then for a while when you guys were living in the Bay Area, or not ish, NorCal, and we got to hang out a little bit, man, it was always good times. So
that's fun.
You were the only hooper we knew, too. We were like in a land of skinny jeans and musicians. We were like, Brandon, what are you doing? We were calling up Britt. Britt, what are you doing?
Yeah, we needed you guys around.
And at that time, it was a deep V-necks, too. Like,
oh, absolutely.
Deep V's and skinny jeans.
Oh, man. So how did you guys meet? For those people who don't necessarily know your guys' story.
Yeah, take us way back.
Okay.
I'm going to let her tell it because she's way better than me. And
no,
I'll chime
no,
in.
No, you can chime in, too.
I'll chime in.
I'm not good at years, though. So what year was it? It was my junior year.
I was
year.
A senior in high school.
So what was that? 2000?
2000.
Okay. So 2000, state basketball tournament. Both of our teams met up. We were on opposite ends of the state. I was over in eastern Washington. He was way up in Blaine, almost up in Canada. And so we met at the state basketball tournament. We both got invited by a good friend who puts on the tournament to represent girls and boys' states. So we got invited to a banquet. From there, we just
We were at the same table together.
We sat, ate a meal.
It was like one of those ones, like, as a player, you don't want to go to the thing because you got a game in like 2 hours.
Unless you're a girl. Like, I loved it. I was like, this is great.
So for like me, you got to understand where I was at. I was like, I got a game in 2 hours. I don't want to be here.
And I didn't know who he was. I knew the name, like Luke Rudner, but I didn't care. Like, I was, essentially, we were kind of like the same personality, but just male, female. And so like, I was like, cool, Luke Rudner, I don't care. I'm about to win a state tournament. I don't know this guy. I don't need to know this guy. He's sitting there with a backwards hat on. Everyone is dressed up nice. And he's literally in like warm-ups. Like
that's
this.
What I said.
Like,
I had a game.
I know. And so I was like, okay, good to meet you, great. That was it, right?
That was it. You thought I was a punk.
I thought you were a punk. I didn't know you, though. I just, like, that was just,
just judging by my outward appearance.
But you were sitting back. Like, you were like, your body language said punk.
So it sounds, sounds like it wasn't the love at first sight type of thing. So how long did it take for you guys to actually be like, oh, I think I'm really feeling her, or, ooh, I really like him?
Well, I think, so the state ended up being, we both went our separate ways. He ended up winning it, right? We didn't. We won it the next year. But
we just stayed in touch, basically.
Well, no, right? you went and played at Oregon.
Yeah.
I graduated high school. I had one more year. And then I went and played Bob Central. And so then we had like this mutual friend that went, kind of grew up with Luke and then was going to college with me. And that's when like, email was big, like Hotmail. I don't know. You guys might have. I don't know.
They're too young.
Would you have been in like? No. I don't know. Middle school.
All social media.
Yeah,
DMs.
It was DMs on Snapchat.
Yes. So I went over to his dorm and I was like, "Give me everyone's email from high school." And so I literally had so many people's emails, and he's like, "You should email Luke." And I was like, "Okay, like." I was just like, cool, this is awesome. I'll email him and just see what he's up to.
There was like no text message. You weren't texting back then.
No.
Unless you were T9. Remember T9?
Oh, my God. Just to get to the T. So I honestly just sent out an email. It didn't even occur to me. He was, what, in the middle?
I was a sophomore in college.
Middle of March Madness.
Study hall. I was in study hall.
Yes.
I got her email. I'm like, dude, I remember that girl. She was cute. So I hit her back. I was like, of course I remember you. What's going on?
And that was it, honestly.
That was it.
We, like, our relationship was, it was always long distance.
Pure phone calls. After that, we just started talking on the phone. It was more like conversation. We just started with pure conversation.
Yep. Hours, like, just, you know how it is, you guys are probably the same, just hours, and you're like, oh my gosh, I gotta get up for practice, like, or class, you know, I can't, we gotta go, and it was all on like calling cards too.
Yeah, it was like, I'm running out of minutes
because
I
didn't have a cell phone.
he was calling mom back home like, hey mom, can you send me some more minutes?
I was like going down to Fred Meyer to get calling cards, like, hold on, let me go get another card.
We probably did that for like 6 months, right?
What do you mean?
Before we saw each other?
Yeah, I think you came out.
We just talked for a long time, yeah.
Yeah.
Then after like 6 months, we started, I was like, dude, I like this girl.
Yeah.
So we started attempting to date, I guess.
Well, you invited me to, you were throwing out the first pitch.
Yeah, I invited her to, I was throwing my heater at the Mariners game.
And it, like, he sealed the deal. I was like, ooh, that was good. I'm in. And I think after that little weekend, and I got to meet you, I got to meet Mr. and Mrs. Rednar.
Met the whole fam.
Yep.
So we were in after that, yeah.
Yeah.
That was it.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, that's really cool, and that's definitely something I feel like come back to, because even the start of your guys' relationship, a lot of that was based off how well you could communicate with each other. We shared a little bit, like, I think one of the blessings of our relationship being long distance is that we couldn't just rely on, like, touch or physical intimacy. But it was starting to have those building blocks of like what any strong relationship is based off, and that is communication. And at the same time too, this element of trust, which again, like, dude, you're off in college, you're kind of a hot commodity, you know, there was probably a lot of trust on the other end of like, okay, hey.
I was new in my faith too, so I was like, oh man, how am I going to do this?
Yeah. But
you're right though, the more you talk to someone, you start to really like them. That just builds that relationship and those blocks you need.
I didn't honestly know a lot about the NBA. I mean, I grew up watching a little bit, but I didn't know as much as what people know now about just the infidelity, the just so much because their lives are just out there. And so, you know, I would have football players come up to me and say, has Luke cheated on you yet? Like, when's he gonna cheat on you so I can snag you? I'm like, well, I don't think he is. He's telling me he's not. I believe him. But you know, I don't know. I guess people just you guys got a bad rap.
You trusted me.
I did.
So what year did you guys get married?
2005.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Good job.
2005.
Yeah, he was, so it was like his...
So we dated for legit 3 years. Yeah. Just long distance, just like that. She was playing volleyball, I was hooping. So it was my second year in the league we got married.
Yeah.
After my second year.
Yep.
Wow. I was reading this crazy stat, which obviously divorce rates are super high. So like, you know, like 50% of marriages are going to end in divorce. But there's a stat that marriages involving either a pro athlete on the male side or female side, the divorce rate is 70%.
Oh, wow. It was higher.
It was like 82 when I was there.
82.
It's gotten better.
It's getting better.
Good job, athletes.
Here we go.
Come on. That's awesome.
Only 3 out of 10 people are staying together. I mean,
probably because of the quarantine.
Well, no, actually, there's a bunch of people divorcing because of the quarantine.
I did hear that.
They're realizing, I actually don't even like my spouse.
Lots of divorces and lots of babies in like 6 months from now, 7 months.
Dude, I could see that though in professional sports.
Oh, I know.
I mean, because you're such this high place, and then especially when you retire.
Yeah.
You know, you don't know who you are, basically. So.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about that too, because even as an athlete, and both of you could probably speak to this, because there's such an emphasis on you building physical skills. Like there's such an emphasis on like getting stronger, getting faster, getting more explosive, that there's actually a lack in relationship tools, interpersonal skills, which kind of sets a lot of them up to not necessarily have the most successful marriage. So like for you going into that second year, getting married, Kate coming off volleyball, what were kind of some of those tools there early on that you thought, you know what, we might actually be successful at this thing called marriage at some point?
Well, that first year, like, it's tough. Marriage is tough, at least for us it was, right?
Yeah.
I'm not just speaking out. Well,
really?
The first year is different because, like,
I mean, this is our first ever podcast.
It is.
And
together.
This is honestly the first time we've ever talked about,
I don't remember,
our
all
story.
This.
Honestly, we say no. We say no so much, you guys, but we love you.
Oh, my God. Thank you so
Never
much.
Never done it.
You guys, okay. Yeah.
Well, just think about it.
That
first year
lot.
Of marriage.
Thank you for the
yes,
trust.
We'll get back.
First year of marriage is tough because you're just trying to figure out how to be married.
You were trying to figure out what you were going to eat. He was so scared because I didn't know how to cook. He was like,
I don't know what I'm going to eat.
You can't cook.
He didn't tell me that until like, what, last year?
I was pumped. Now you know how to cook.
He was
really
so
good,
worried so. That he was like, I don't know what we're going to do like for dinner, for lunch. He doesn't cook. And so it was like my mission when he left on road trips. I watched every cooking show. I read every cookbook.
Yes.
He likes everything I cook now. But yeah, back to the first year. I mean, I think
it's just a learning curve. You know how it is. Anyone would say that.
But we had never, it was so new to us because we didn't live together before we were married. Everything was long distance. Even when you proposed, it was my finals week. And then so I moved to Seattle, lived with your sister for 3 months before we got married.
So we'd never been close to each other. So just even getting to see each other on a daily basis was all brand new.
Absolutely.
So just learning. I mean, the good thing for us is we did always talk. We always were in communication. So we had that to go on. And we loved each other. That goes a long way.
Yeah, I feel like, I mean, people always would ask me that in the league. A lot of people. how did you meet Luke? And then when I would say the first sentence, well, we met in high school, they'd go, oh my gosh, really? Like, the people don't expect that. They expect me to say, oh, I met him after a game, or, you know, I was at the club, or I was, you know, waiting outside the hotel in Atlanta, you know. So when I do say that, they're like, oh my gosh. So I think our relationship was so genuine from the start. Like, I fell in love with him. I didn't fall in love with who he might become or what he might have. And so, honestly, we were just so happy to be together.
Yeah.
I was so happy just to be with him. Like, and we saved ourselves for marriage. So we were like, let's do this. We can take on the world. Baby, come home. Yeah. at least two nights a week.
Yeah. And maybe you could even talk about that. Like, what kind of stress was that putting on early on with you being on the road literally all the time? Like, people who aren't necessarily familiar with the travel schedule that you were on, could you briefly like talk about like how often you were on the road during the season? And then Kate, I would love to hear you talk about how you felt like you were keeping the connection while he was away so much of the time.
Well, yeah, NBA schedule is, even when you're home, you're not home. Yeah. Because you got games at home, you got practice, you got shoot around. So like a typical day, if you're at home, you got, and it's a game day, you got shoot around from 10 to 12. You get home, you eat lunch, you take a nap, you're back at the gym by 4. So that's what, 2 hours maybe you have to hang out. You're back at the gym, you play the game, you get home by like 11. You wake up, you do it all over again. So your day is, even though you're home, you're not home. On the road, you're in the hotel, same deal. You sleep, you eat, you're at the game, you go fly. It's like Groundhog Day,
but
you get to hoop, so it's fun. But as far as getting to talk and hang out, like your body, you feel like, at least I felt like I had to take care of myself so I was ready to play. So just having that time together, like, you look forward to those non-game days so you can have a night where you can go out to dinner and keep that relationship communication going. Cause,
well, there's certain things you can't do on game days.
You can't have sex on game day.
You can't do it the night before. You know, he's got to have his legs.
You got to have your legs.
So, I mean, it's... I hope that's okay to say.
Yeah, we've said way worse.
Okay, good. But you know, being an athlete, I mean... He might have been home, but mentally he was not home. And to me, I think because I was an athlete, I understood it and I respected that. And it's like, okay, you know, he has to go take a nap. At the beginning, it was kind of funny. Like, wait, you're napping? Like, wait, why are you napping? But it was just him kind of mentally preparing, even if it just meant laying down for, you know, half an hour.
So with that, like, I know obviously there was like a super amount of love there. At times, did it ever feel like, wow, I don't know if I'm necessarily being taken care of in these ways for this season, but I understand because of this schedule and I'm like not going to hold this against you. I'm sure that there was like a little bit of this weird tension of like, hey, I would love for us to go out to lunch somewhere and do this, but I understand because of your job, we can't do that. So in the same time, kind of keeping that heart still open and tender, and maybe this wasn't even the case, but I'd imagine like if I was in your shoes, being in that position, you know?
I honestly could say it wasn't until his final year I was, we had trade-in, he was 5, the twins were 3, and I was pregnant with Riker. And that probably was like, I knew this was probably going to be it. He knew this was probably going to be it because it was just a lot. We were in Florida, and I just knew I needed, it was time. I needed more. I was driving 2 hours a day just to take my son to school, come home, go back, you know, carting everybody, and I was just pregnant. And you know, I didn't have support in Florida. We didn't have family, friends, you barely have time to make a friend. But honestly, up until that point, and it wasn't anything bad, nothing really happened. I just knew, like, I was like, okay, like, I'm really getting excited for what's next. And I don't know if you felt like that.
Yeah, for sure.
I think you did too, because obviously I think you were in a place where you were getting ready to.
Yeah. Well, the only thing, like, even up until that point is summers. Like, we made at least I know I did, we both did, like, the summers, mm-hmm. I was hers. Like, we had 4 months off, mm-hmm. you know, once we started having kids, I was like, all right, I am dedicating my summer to my family. Whatever they want to do, I'm in.
And it was all perspective. Like, I feel like I've always had a pretty level head when it comes to perspective and putting things into perspective. And because people would say, oh, it's like you're so far away, though, and you're not with family. Well, yeah, but I'm going to come back and I'm going to see him again. And I have a phone. And
it's a short season.
It is, like, just to be able to put things into perspective, even like what we're going through now. It's like, okay, but like everything can be as hard as what it is. Like, the sun's going to come out. And I think that's always been kind of my approach and my mindset. But yeah, it definitely, there were definitely struggling seasons, and it wasn't so much marriage. It was like, we just had a lot of other things happen, you know, after babies and complications. Then it was like, okay, like, now we're really going to see how deep our feet are dug into the ground, into the word, into God's promises. Like, let's see how strong we are, because we're getting tested. And what should have broke us definitely didn't and brought us closer. So,
That was when Kyson and Beckett were born.
Yeah.
And Kai almost died in the hospital. So we lived in the hospital for a year?
Just about.
So we were separated there too. Like, I stayed in the hospital. She stayed at home with the other kids.
Oh, yeah.
I was still playing in the season. So that was kind of something else that we had already been through, the disconnect. And I mean, not physically together, but we stayed connected just by, like, our prayer life, reading, you know, talking to each other on the phone. That was a big deal. All those things that we had early on in our relationship came back, you know, to the forefront there. And I think for us, it put everything in perspective. Like, all right, this other stuff really isn't that important.
Absolutely.
Like, there's so much more going on. And I think from that point forward, we were like, we just enjoyed every day because our kids were alive and healthy.
And we weren't in the ICU.
Changed everything for us. We weren't in the hospital anymore. So the next, 8 years after that, we were like, this is easy compared to what we just went
through. Oh, I know. Honestly, when you look at death in the eyes and you defeat that, it's like, oh my gosh. You know?
Yeah, I think for us personally, it actually brought us together, because you had to, like, lean on each other and read scripture together. And it's easy to, you know, when things are easy, to just not do stuff like that, to not pray together, to not read together. But for us, it was like, no, we need to do this, because this is saving our son's life.
Oh, yeah.
So just those things that helped us get closer together. And I just feel like we've grown every year, really. Closer and closer.
That's amazing. Like, what you said, Kate, perspective is truly everything. Cause it's interesting. I'm thinking about this time that we're, like, all sharing together right now. Like, most of us, there's some of us out here in these streets protesting, but for the most part, there's people who are at home, right? And we're spending all this time with family and friends, you know, who might be living with us or whatever. But I almost feel weird for saying this, because I feel the most content that I've felt ever in my life, like, in the good way, not in the sense of, like, I've accomplished all I want to accomplish, I'm done, but in the sense that, like, my soul, my spirit just feels deep peace.
I know.
Joy.
I feel that too. And I almost don't want to say it, because I know, I'm so glad you said that, because I have been feeling that for so long, and people will, like, come up to us or just me and be like, how are you? It's like, oh, should I? Oh, I'm okay. Like, but really, I'm like, I'm wonderful. My children are alive. Like, they're healthy. Like, they're just, we go back to that perspective. Like, we're going to get through this. And honestly, we have no room to complain. We are blessed. You know, we're not out of work. And I know there are a lot of people that really are struggling. And, you know, my heart goes out to them. But in terms of what you're saying, just like that deep peace, like, oh, I feel it. I feel it.
Yeah. And in saying that, I think some people are like, oh, like, you're minimizing the struggle of other people. No way or shape or form. And I'm not even denying that it is a struggle for people. But I think the point I'm getting to is the fact that, like, I think in times like this, you get to really see what you're rooted to. It just reveals, like, I heard somebody say the other day, these are apocalyptic times. And I'm like, yeah, because apocalyptic times mean that the truth is being revealed.
So true.
Yeah. So the storms of life are always coming. And it really is just going to reveal the truth that's already there. What are you rooted to?
Yes.
What is your relationship rooted in? And so for you guys facing the hardship, like, and that time of being disconnected yet connected, it just revealed what your guys' relationship was already built on, which is amazing. And so talk about for a moment, and you shared a little bit about this, Kate, of you were like, it's almost like you have no time to make friends. So obviously in your line of profession, Luke, trades happen. And so, you know, Kate is holding it down on the home front, managing the family, cruising the ship. And so being traded is obviously you're uprooting your life and you're going to a new city. Like, how, as a couple in times of transition, do you make home is kind of my question.
Well, I think home to us was always wherever we're together, because our homes never really looked or felt like homes. Yeah. I mean, we had boxes that wouldn't be unpacked as nightstands, and that's just how it was. I mean, I would have family visit and my mom would be like, are you gonna unpack those dishes, honey? I'm like, no, I'm not. Like,
we're leaving in 3 months.
We'll be leaving soon, mom. Like, we're okay living like this. But I think to a lot of people, a home is what you look at, and to us it was just it was a feeling like we're together, like
yeah.
But really, you only got,
I got traded a couple times in the season. I had so many friends that played that would leave their families, like,
oh yeah,
back in Seattle or wherever they're from, and then they would go play the season. I always would be like, how are you doing that?
Oh gosh, that's yeah. crazy.
Like, it's so hard, and I think that's why there was such a high divorce rate, because when they actually come home and live together, they're like, whoa, yeah. I don't know you.
He wants to still be doing
yeah.
his thing, and she wants him to.
So our whole thing was, wherever we go, we're going together.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
we're going to be together, the kids. Like she said, our perspective was different. It's a short season of life. Like, I played 12 years, but I've been retired 4, and I can't even remember playing now. I mean, it goes so quick. Like, remember college, how quick your college career went.
I know.
Yeah.
It's so crazy, right? In the moment, it feels so long, but when it's done, it's like, wow.
I know.
So for us, it was like, we're going together. We're going to be together. We're going to bring our kids. They're going to be a part of it. And my job, I just made it. It was our family's job. We're gonna be in this whole thing together. And I was not good at separating basketball and family in the beginning. But as we got older and I matured a little bit, and my wife slapped me upside the head a few times, Kate got me a few times, I started to learn that, okay, she's right.
Yeah.
My perspective had to change, that it's not as important as I thought it was.
Yeah.
Not everyone's watching the games, you know.
Yeah.
When you're playing, you think everyone is just this microscope's on you, but mm-hmm. really it's not. And she was really good at just kind of, hey, when you come home, you got to be home. You got kids, I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not to say we didn't struggle with that, because I know that I did.
Oh, yeah.
But we definitely got better at it. And her even just being open to tell me stuff like that helped so much. Because as a man, sometimes we can get really vision, you know, on what we're doing. You don't really see what's on the side. But like, I've always respected Kate. She's always told me what she's feeling, whether I want to hear it or not. And sometimes I'll be like, dude, you're way off. But then like a day later, I'll be like,
comes back around.
She's actually right. Like, I can feel the Holy Spirit starting to, like, I read this book that sometimes we don't listen to the Holy Spirit, but our wife does. And then when she tells us, that's actually the Holy Spirit. So I'm like, dude, that's kind of right.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So just like for her being honest with me has helped our communication, because I didn't always see it the way she saw it. But when she gave me her side, I'd be like, dude, she's right. I am doing that, or this is affecting us in that way. So
yeah,
just that communication even that we had early kind of carried over, and it has still.
And I knew what I was getting myself into, you know. I knew, but I didn't know, I guess I should say. I knew on paper what it looked like. I didn't know how it was gonna feel. But I knew that I loved him, and I knew that I would go anywhere. I knew I would follow him, and I knew I'd be his biggest cheerleader. And I never felt like I was cutting myself short or missing out, or because honestly, I loved him. I loved watching him play. I would go back in a heartbeat, honestly. Like, I keep telling him, like, one more year. Let's go. Let's do it. One more year. Every team needs a good veteran, right?
Not this old.
You can still play. He can still play. But
I bet you can, man. I saw you shoot the other day on Instagram.
You'll
never lose it.
Dude, I was so sore the next day. I'm like, oh my god.
Like, you could just play every few games.
There you go.
No, but I knew what I was getting myself into. And my personality is similar in terms of you just do what you have to do, you know, and you don't complain. You just do it. Because that showed my support. And honestly, I did it out of joy. I loved to do it. And it wasn't always glamorous and as fun as what everyone thinks. I mean, a lot of times it was sitting in a city, in a state, miles and miles away by yourself in a condo, you know, or a home, and you don't know your neighbors. But thankfully we had cell phones. We could FaceTime. We could Skype. Was it Skype back then?
I think it was.
Yeah. So we made it work. And I always looked at like moving as an adventure, like, oh, this is cool. Until it was like the fifth year in the Midwest. We were like, okay,
we gotta get out of
adventure
here.
Over. Like, somebody get this guy out of here.
Man. So one of the first things we're talking about was a little bit of the infidelity. And I'd imagine, like, if you had to just give a rough estimate of, like, guys who you were aware, and again, we're not calling out names or anything, like, how many, a percentage of those guys that you played with or heard stories of remain faithful in their relationships?
My goodness.
0%. Probably, I'll take that back. Over the years, one guy... One or two, maybe two guys of every person that I played with.
Wow. That's
a small percentage, yeah.
It's crazy because even though I wasn't anywhere close to playing in the NBA, like when I was out of the country, it was the same thing. Like I only knew one other dude who was faithful in his marriage. The other guys, like every road trip, it was like a new roadie.
It got so bad for me. I'm like, look. I don't even want to go in the elevator with all you guys because people are coming up and I don't want to hear about it.
Yeah.
And I don't want my room next year because the wall is going to be banging and I don't want to hear that.
Yeah.
And then and I remember you saying too, you felt bad because you would see the girlfriends, the wives at the games, like, you know, at the home games supporting and just like cheering for them. And maybe they knew, maybe they didn't, but still it was like,
so awkward. You're
you know, like, he would tell me, so I knew, and that's not something you talk about. But your heart would break a little knowing, like, oh.
It blows my mind because you hear about that, and then you, like, you know dudes. And, again, I don't know if it did something in you, but I know for me, like, I wasn't married at the time. So I'm thinking, man, someday when I'm married, I promise to God I am not going to treat my wife like how these dudes are treating their wives. It almost put like this, like, charge in me, like, man, I got to be better than that, you know? Like, I got to hold it down, man, because I just remember, like, I was actually, this is a crazy story. We were rooming up together, so I was with another point guard on one of our road trips, and I wake up in the middle of the night to hear my teammate having sex with some girl in the bed right next to me. And like, I'm just like, yo, this is like 4 o'clock in the morning. There's no way in hell I'm going to be like hanging out outside. Like, you know, it's a great time to go get a cup of coffee. And I just remember being just like so pissed because I was like, one, I want to sleep. Two, I feel bad because I love your wife and your kids. Yeah. And I feel bad because when we get back from this road trip, I'm going to like want to just be like, oh my God, you probably know this already, but your husband, he's a bum, you know?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
That's tough, man.
That is tough. That's terrible.
Yeah, and then I called him out after it. I was like, yo, don't be doing that around me when I'm in the room.
So, yeah, that's good.
We had to set set parameters.
Gosh, that's horrible.
I remember when I was on one of my first airplane rides, like charter plane with our team. Everyone was sitting around each other and just telling each other like what they did the night before with who they did it with, and it came to me.
The work.
And I was like, what am I gonna say? Like,
dude, how do I top this?
I'm a virgin. Like, well, you want me to say that out loud so you guys can all just nail me right here, laugh at me, you know? But I had to say it out loud, and as soon as I said it, like, they didn't know what hit them. It was like somebody just knocked them out cold.
And then they come around, though? Like,
but, like, as the season went, like, me, like, you making that stand, like, dude, this is who I am. This is what I'm going to do. Like, before you know it, they're coming around asking questions like, dude, why do you do that? How do you only sleep with one girl? How's that even possible?
Yeah.
It just opens up doors left and right for you. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah. For you, what were the things staying strong on the road? Because obviously, like, you don't go that many years in that position and not mess up without having a sort of like, yo, this is what I do. This is how I keep myself in check. Like,
yeah, I think having a partner that you love and communicates with you helps. So like having Kate being able to FaceTime talk. I mean, I don't want to be cliche, but just praying and reading. The more you stand on that Bible, man, the more you're going to be able to keep your spirit check. But really, Kate, she's always been a good rock for me. Just someone I can talk to, and she calls me out left and right, and I hate it at the moment. But later on, I'm like, dude, you're right again. Like, you know, just having someone that's honest with you. Because a lot of times in my position that I used to be in, people aren't honest with you. They just want to be your friend or have what you have, you know what I mean? So having someone that's real with you, especially when you get married, you want someone that's real with you, and that's what she's been for me.
Well, you knew, and everyone knows in the NBA, your window of at your highest is very, very small. And so you knew, like, this is my time, and I'm going to go as long as I can. I'm going to do whatever it takes to keep my body right, stay mentally strong. Because, I mean, you definitely dealt with a lot of different coaches, management, GMs that really were bleep-a-bleeps.
You know, a lot of assholes. I mean, there's a lot of people that just, you know, they're out for their own self.
Yeah.
But I think just that, having someone you can stand on, talk to, communicate with, is a big deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And too, the thing about you is you being open and receptive to it. You know, like, I think that's beautiful. Because, like, I know for me, like, and I'll let Maddie share a little bit on this, because I married a strong woman too. So, like, her voice is strong. She knows what she wants. She has her own opinions, and I do my best to empower her in that. But, like, I feel like there's a lot of women who are strong, but sometimes as a man, like, dudes I know let their ego get in the way. So it's a little bit of this, like, yo, you can't call me out on this because I'm the man of the household, you know?
I'm the man.
I've tried. I mean, we've all tried that. We try to stand up, but then we're like, you're right.
Yeah, but I'm like, yeah, I know you're right, you know?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I think with that, as far as you... I mean, that's not ever going to lead to a good marriage. If you have anybody that has an ego like that, it's never, if you aren't allowing space to be called out on, you're never going to grow as a person. So it just is what it is.
What are you up to these days, man? Are you enjoying being retired, being out of it?
It's been fun, man. Like, we were talking about a while back that we've never been in the same house for like
more than a year. Or it was like 7 or 8 months.
So being in like the same home and not packing and just being...
We didn't know how we'd do it. We were like,
we didn't know how we were going to do it.
Oh, we're going to want to move in like a year. Like, even my family's like, how are you guys doing? Like, you guys ready to move?
Like, we moved 20 times in 12 years or something like that.
Oh my goodness gracious.
So like, just be able to put some roots down somewhere. Yeah. I didn't know how I was going to do either, because like, I'm a goer. Like, I got to be on the next thing. And it's been really nice.
Well, and moving back to...
Yeah, we moved back to kind of where I'm from, that area. So I didn't really know how that was going to go, but It's been fun to see how the Lord, you can see why he placed us here and just the stuff we've been able to get involved with. And we started a gym that we run a bunch of AAU stuff out of and kids sports. And
it was such a need here too, which was really cool. You know, hearing so many parents and people say, gosh, like we really needed a gym here. Everyone was going into...
They go to Seattle, Bellingham.
Bellingham.
So just like being able to do stuff like that and have our kids go to the same school.
Yeah.
Get to know people, like your neighbors. Like that kind of stuff you take for granted we've never had. So it's been really fun. Like I've enjoyed it big time.
Definitely.
That's awesome, man. You know, one thing looking at your guys' story is, or hearing at least from this pod, is your guys' ability to handle change and handle transition and just doing it together. And yeah, just the ability to like bounce back from situations, and it's just all together, you know, and just having that perspective of like, hey, this is not forever. And I think there's even applying that now, like on this stay at home thing, like it's not forever. So there's a lot of people that are just like, I got to get out of that. Like, you know, and it's just like, I've always had that mentality. And it's something my mom used to always tell me was, hey, you could get through anything if it's not forever, you know?
So true. And that's the thing. I mean, a new season started and it was season Luke. And it was like, when season?
September.
And I knew April was coming. April's right around the corner. Yeah. I mean, most of the time you ended in April. Unfortunately.
Had a lot of losing years.
You know, but I knew, I was like, once April hits, okay, next, like here comes summer. So
yeah, I think you're right. I mean, we can get through anything. Like when we were in the hospital, we always got people asking us like, how are you getting through day to day? Well, you take it day to day and you just get through it and rely on your faith and stuff, but you just get through it because you know that there's light at the end of the tunnel.
I mean, we got to know different people in the ICU, and we literally would be walking the halls, and I honestly at one point thought, these nurses must think I am just this dumb blonde because I'm smiling and I'm saying hi and I'm greeting people, and we're praying for people with children who are dying, like in the room next door. But really, like we knew what was going on. We knew our child was the sickest kid in the ICU. We were well aware of the reality of it all and the weight of it all.
Mm-hmm.
But I think just our roots were so deep in this is what we're doing. You're going to get through it. Like, and it was like just a perfect combo of both of our strengths, both of our personalities being like, we got this, let's go. Like, you know?
It's the kind of way we take life on.
And we grabbed our family and we were like, this is what we're believing for. If you're in it, then like, let's go. If you're not, we'll see it when we see it. Like, you know, it was kind of harsh at times, but we kept our circle small. And gosh, that was a season. Whew.
That was a season. That's a long podcast, that one. But
that is, I know.
I think you're right. Just your perspective. What are you going through? You're going to get through it.
Yeah.
God's got a plan and it's good. If you can hang on to that, man, we're going to be all right.
And grab the people who are going to go with you, you know, and support you and, you know, help you up when you're just dragging.
And the beauty of having that someone is like in moments like that, traumatic moments, disappointing moments. I feel like all those moments when you have somebody, whether it's a partner, spouse, whatever it is, it's like all those moments are serving as building blocks for your house.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and again, depending on what you built on, like one of my favorite parables of Jesus, like, I love all his stories because he's so gangster. But like when he talks about, you know, the man who built his house on sand and the man who built his house on rock. And he says this, you know, like, hey, when the storms came, it obviously the house that was built on sand blew over and the house that was built on the rock, it stood. So I think about the foundation of any relationship comes down to communication. It comes down to trust. It comes down to the ability to be honest and vulnerable and have tough conversations with that person. And then all these moments that you're going through and you're getting through is building this house. So when the storms of life do come, like that house, that relationship, that thing that you guys have built together, it's not going down. It's going to stand. And I think, like, hopefully this encourages someone listening of like, hey, you might be going through it right now, but you're going to get through it, you know? And hopefully you got somebody special that you're building with, because you're going to look back on these times and be able to laugh in those moments and be like, oh my God, look how far we've come. Look what we've built. Oh my God, this is amazing. You know?
Yeah, you're right.
And so you guys, thank you so much.
Thank you guys so much for coming
being on our podcast.
Thank you. We were like, why do they want to talk to us?
We're just an old couple now.
I am not old. I am mid-30s, son.
We end every pod with our benediction. So if you have your glass, I want you to raise your glass. I got the topo. She's got the
jar of water.
Purified water. So we say this. May you always have a seat at the table. If not, you are always welcome at ours. Cheers.
Cheers.
That's awesome.